Joining us now to break it all down is our friend Adam Vingan. Adam, I started the show out saying it wasn't pretty, but it was beautiful. And it was not pretty in the slightest for the Nashville Predators last night. Shot attempt differential, 84 for the Vancouver Canucks, 36 for the Nashville Predators, but still found a way to win. Your overall takeaways from the game last night.
When it comes to the postseason, you just have to win any way you can. As you said, it doesn't have to be pretty. It can be downright ugly. But as long as you win, that's all that matters. And that's what the Predators did last night. That was a harrowing game to watch if you're a Predators fan, especially in that third period. The Canucks missed so many golden opportunities throughout the game to score, to keep it close. I think of Elias Pettersson missing a wide-open net on the power play near the end of a period. JT Miller's stick exploded at one point during a prime scoring chance. Suter had a tap-in goal on the back door that I think Carrier might – I think it was Carrier. I think it might have deflected off Carrier just enough that Suter couldn't get his stick on it, and it went wide. You know, the Predators, in many ways, are lucky that they won that game, but sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, especially in the postseason. Now, ideally, you don't spend the majority of the game on your heels when you come back for game three on Friday. But, you know, the Predators deserve a lot of credit for, you know, how they did play defensively, the number of shots they blocked, especially on the power play. I think that, It wasn't as if UC Saros did all the work, although he did make some really important saves. So, you know, if the Predators win this series, and you're not gonna look back and say, well, they probably shouldn't have won game two. Yeah, that's true. They probably shouldn't have won game two, but they did. So that's all that matters.
In the playoffs, that's all that matters. And you talked about getting bailed out a couple of times by some mistakes and some missed opportunities from the Canucks. I think Elias Pettersson's three or four missed opportunities, absolutely, you could point to. Another thing is Thatcher Demko was out last night with an injury. He's questionable for the rest of the series, week to week. Rick Tocchet said last night in his post-game press conference, just got to put it into perspective for us, for Predators fans, just how big of an opportunity that is for the Predators to not have a Vezina-caliber goaltender in net for the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, you just said it. It's huge. And as you said, originally he was day-to-day, and after the game, they updated it to week-to-week. So that would suggest that we're not going to see Demko in this series again. And I thought the way that the Predators scored that first goal last night was important. You know, I think it was important generally to get a goal early on Casey DeSmith, but the way that it was scored, it was Philip Forsberg just threw the puck towards the net, and Anthony Beauvillier happened to deflect it. It was not a good goal against. It was definitely a fluky goal, but I think that's the kind of goal that you needed to score early on Casey DeSmith to maybe get in his head a little bit. And DeSmith wasn't tested significantly, as we just talked about. Most of the game was played on the other end of the ice, but I didn't think he had to make too many great saves. And the fact that he wasn't tested much, the Predators were able to get to him, especially with the Forsberg and Sisson's goals in the second period. So I think what works in the Canucks' favor a little bit for them is the fact that they had to go through this near the end of the regular season. The Smith started 10 games, 10 of the 14 games, if I recall correctly, that Demko missed near the end of the regular season. So at least he had some recent starting experience. It wasn't as if he was coming in cold, but you know, it's a definite downgrade. It's a definite downgrade from Thatcher Demko to Casey DeSmith. It's similar to what happened when UC Saros got injured before the end of the regular season, in which the Predators played the Avalanche in the playoffs. Now that series probably wasn't going to be close anyway, but you know, going from UC Saros to David Riddick and Connor Ingram, that was a big drop off, and then the Avalanche definitely took advantage of it. So I mean, that's the opportunity is there for the Predators to take advantage of a goalie who's only made two starts in his NHL career, two playoff starts in his NHL career, actually.
Talk with Adam Vinga discussing the Nashville Predators 4-2 win last night versus the Vancouver Canucks. Now, Adam, can you say that was more of the exception than the norm? Because I think there are Predator fans that are concerned, and you brought it up, with the time that Vancouver spent on Nashville's end of the ice. I look at it as it more of an exception rather than a norm. And since it's an exception in the way they played it, I'm not too much worried about that happening again.
Well, you would certainly hope not. Uh-huh. And when you look at even strength, so because since the Canucks had so many power play opportunities, it felt like, you know, when you look at all strengths, when you look at the game as a whole, things can be skewed a little bit because they were playing it on the power play so much, Vancouver, that is. So if you just isolate it to even strength, Vancouver had 6 minutes and 12 seconds of offensive zone possession time, meaning they had the puck on their stick for 6 minutes and 12 seconds in the offensive zone during even strength. The Predators had the puck on their stick in the offensive zone for 2 minutes and 57 seconds. That's a huge discrepancy. The other thing that stood out to me was at all strengths, Vancouver had a 20-7 edge in high danger scoring chances. It was 13-4 at even strength. So they were definitely pouring it on, pressuring the Predators. And we talked about this near the end of the regular season when we talked about whether the Predators, quote unquote, peaked too early. The thing that was concerning to me was their defensive play. And, you know, the play last night certainly, you know, was concerning, but it kind of goes back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago, or last week, whenever it was, which the Predators, by and large, have been a good defensive team off season. So when things like this happen, you have to think, okay, it was just, you know, a blip on the radar versus something that could, you know, predict the rest of the series. So I imagine the Predators will be more aggressive. I mean, quite frankly, they can't get any less aggressive than they were last night. So there's only up to go from here.
Now, Adam, what do you see from this power play? Because they're 1 of 8 in the last two games with their power play. And when you have opportunities like that, you got to take advantage of them when you're playing Vancouver. But what are you seeing? And do you think Coach Brudeau made any adjustments from game one to game two? Now, it may seem like he didn't, or if he did, they didn't work because they're still not getting the production they're going to need.
Well, I remember at one point, if I recall correctly, reading during the regular season that when the power play wasn't going well, Andrew Burnett was talking about how slow it was in terms of making decisions and moving the puck around. So maybe you're seeing a little bit of that. You know, you also have to give credit to Vancouver's penalty killers. You know, there are four other guys on the ice. But, you know, I remember that quote from Burnett talking about the power play being a little slow. And I think when you look at the goal they scored on the power play, the goal in game one from Ryan O'Reilly, very quick puck movement from one player to the next, and they dissected the Canucks penalty kill on that goal and scored. It was a really nice play. You obviously need to see more of that. So it's about being quicker with your decisions and forcing the penalty killers, you know, to move, not letting them be stationary, not letting them be able to predict where you're going to go with the puck. You know, that goes for all power plays, not just the Predators' power play. But I think when the Predators' power play is struggling, based on what Brunet has said, it's because they're not making quick enough decisions with the puck.
Now, which guy you believe needs to step their game up? Because after the first game, we talked about Philip Forsberg, him being the star of this team, him being that guy that he needs to play better in order for this team to have any chance of winning. Obviously, UC needs to play better as well. But he ended up playing much better the second game, meaning Philip Forsberg, as well as Soros. But what guy do you think needs to step up their game in order for the Preds to at least win game three back here in Nashville?
I think Roman Josi is next up. I mean, he's playing a ton of minutes in the first two games of the series. He only has two shots on goal, if I'm not mistaken, and one assist. So, you know, I think when you look at what Roman Josi was able to do in the second half of the season, specifically if you look at the 18-game point streak. And the Predators were absolutely dominant offensively when he was on the ice at 5-on-5. It goes without saying that you need him to play better. I mean, I think if you were listening to Vancouver radio, they would say the same thing about Quinn Hughes. I mean, I feel like Quinn Hughes, you know, has had a couple points in the series, but I mean, he's always on the ice seemingly, but he hasn't stood out to me the way I expected him to. And I think that's the same thing with Roman Josi. I mean, I think he has more to give, especially in the offensive zone, based on how he played in the second half of the season. So I thought UC Saros stepped up after his game one performance. Philip Forsberg stepped up after his game one performance. Now I think it's time for Roman Josi to step up in game three.
Adam Vinken is with us. And I'm with you, Adam. Philip Forsberg had a much better night last night than he did on Sunday night. And I understand that I'm critiquing a two-point performance, but even still, in the first period, I just felt like Philip Forsberg couldn't hold on to the puck. And I'm thinking, what happened to Philip Forsberg? Like, does he have to go back to practice? I mean, it just didn't look like the Philip Forsberg that we've seen throughout basically the entirety of the season. And I know he had a beautiful goal in the second period. I didn't care who was in net. I don't care if it was Thatcher Demko or Casey DeSmith or UC Saros or whoever it was. I mean, that was a beauty of a goal that I think even the best of goaltenders wouldn't be able to stop. But still, that first period just kind of, I can't get past it. And you can't have those kind of performances, whether it's period by period or game by game, from Philip Forsberg. So what do you think he needs to do now that the Predators will have this advantage on home ice?
Well, certainly one thing that will help is matchups. And I'll be curious to see what Andrew Burnett tries to do there. If I'm not mistaken, that line has seen a lot of the Canucks' third line with Elias Lindholm, Connor Garland, and Dakota Joshua. But when I think about Philip Forsberg specifically, you know, he had two fantastic playoff years in 16-17 and 17-18. He had 16 points in each playoff year, but he slowed down in recent playoff years. He hasn't been that dominant force in the playoffs in recent years, which was why it was nice to see him score that type of goal, which not very many players can do. I mean, to be able to maneuver in a tight space and find the sliver of space in the net. You know, could Thatcher Demko have made a better chance of that save? I guess. But, I mean, I think most goaltenders would have probably fallen victim to that type of move from Philip Forsberg. But it goes without saying that for the Predators to have a chance in the series, they need Philip Forsberg to play like he did in the regular season. And, you know, when I think about the top players on both sides in this series, you know, I think JT Miller, of all of the top players on both sides, I think JT Miller has been the best on both sides, especially in game one. But, you know, I on the other side, we talked about Elias Pettersson. You know, he has struggled. He was struggling near the end of the regular season too. And, you know, he's had some really good opportunities through two games, but, you know, hasn't been productive. And, you know, you need to take advantage of that. When their top players aren't playing well, you need your top players to step up. So, you know, I think it was good for Forsberg to have that kind of game last night, specifically that goal. Maybe that gets him going, and they absolutely need him to if they want to prevail in this series.
It really did kind of feel like a sigh of relief seeing that goal. Just kind of a, all right, there we go. That's the Forsberg that we've seen throughout the entirety of the season. But another player that you mentioned who needed to step up in game two and did is UC Saros. I thought he had a fantastic game yesterday, specifically in the third period when he was just getting bombarded by the Canucks. How important is this series for UC Saros and the next steps for Saros and the postseason and his expiring contract?
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about it. I saw that Joe wrote about it today.
Yeah.
I think, you know, UC Saros needs to win a playoff series. Unfortunately, I guess you could say, wins are a goaltending stat the same way that wins are a quarterback stat. That they don't. That's not necessarily, you know, the right way to think about it. But when you measure a goaltender's performance, you measure it by how many wins they have and how many playoff series wins they have, just like a quarterback, how many wins they have in the regular season and playoffs. So this because it's such an isolated position. And I think it's incredibly important for UC Soros to win a playoff series as a starter. And, you know, the Predators did a really good job in front of him last night. You know, the number of shots they blocked, I think it was at least 30. You know, the event summary kept him going from 35 to 33. I saw it was 30 today. Like, it's all over the place.
It but they is blocked all over at the
least
place.
They blocked at least 30 shots, which was, you know, an incredible defensive performance. The Canucks also helped by missing a lot of shots and the post bailed out UC Soros a couple of times too. So all told, he definitely had some help, but I do think that when he needed to make the big save, I think about that save he made on Dakota Joshua late in the game, right in front, he made the saves he needed to make. And that's really important. So I thought it was a really gutsy bounce-back performance from UC Soros, and they absolutely needed him to step up after the game he had in Game 1.
And I've said leading into the playoffs, and I still believe it, if the Predators want to win this series and make things interesting, potentially make a run in the playoffs, which I think is not likely but absolutely possible, they're going to have to be carried by Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly and UC Soros. Essentially, you know, the varsity team that got them here. But looking over the past couple of games, it's been Anthony Beauvillier, who had a great night yesterday, Jason Zucker, who found the net first in Game 1, a lot of this secondary scoring. I also look at guys like Tommy Novak, who's really kind of struggled over the last couple of games. I look at Luke Evangelista, who I thought had a solid Game 1, but kind of stepped back a little bit in Game 2. In terms of secondary scoring, what do you need to see from some of those guys?
Yeah, I think Anthony Beauvillier has had a strong two games. I'm sure he loved scoring in Vancouver. You know, remember he started his season in Vancouver before being traded to Chicago. You think about the goals that they've gotten in this series. You know, Zucker scored a goal, Beauvillier scored a goal, Sisson scored a goal. I think Luke Evangelista has looked plenty dangerous. And, you know, yes, as you said, you need your star players to step up.
Right.
But we have seen, especially around here, the importance of depth scoring. I mean, go back to 2017, which I know is not something we tend to do or like to do, rather, because it's been so long. But think about how they got to where they got by having your Cody McLeods and your Vernon Fiddlers and your Harry Zolderchucks and your Austin Watsons scoring important goals. So, yes, the top players need to perform, but they can't do it alone. And I do think that in the absence of some of those top players in terms of production over the first two games, they have gotten important contributions from guys lower in the lineup, which is important.
All right, Adam, I'm going to put you on the hot seat here. Game 3 back at Bridgestone Arena on Friday night. Official prediction for Game 3.
Oh, I'm going to say that the Predators eke out a 3-2 overtime win.
Ooh,
in
spicy.
Game 3.
I like that.
I'm in favor of overtime in Nashville rather than in Vancouver with a 9:30 puck drop.
And I'll say, I'm trying to pick who's going to score the overtime winner.
Ooh.
I'll say, that's a good question. I'm going to go on a limb here, a really big limb.
Give me a Novak.
I'm going to say Ryan McDonagh.
See, I think a safe bet anytime you need a clutch goal is a different Ryan. It's Ryan O'Reilly. Whenever you need something, Ryan O'Reilly comes through. Adam Vingan joins us here. Adam, appreciate you for stopping by. We'll catch up next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Adam.